ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
Welcome back to Dads on the Air this Tuesday, the 25th of May 2010. And this is Bill Cable from Mediate Now, and in the studio with me is Ian Purdy from ianpurdy.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody.
And also we have Phil York from Dads in Distress.
Good morning, everyone.
So in today's show, we've got we're expecting to hear from our blogger, Ken Thompson, who's riding his bike around Europe, and that's for the good cause of doing something about the number of children who are abducted overseas. His child was abducted from Australia. The mother and child were last seen in Frankfurt, but it is a worldwide problem, and Ken is actually out there doing something about it. He's riding his bike, raising the level of awareness, raising funds, and hopefully stirring up enough interest for something to actually be done about this major problem that is happening for children throughout the world. And then later on we'll be having our feature interview with Deborah Cook, who listeners might recall we interviewed a few weeks ago. Deborah has put on an art show in northern New South Wales in Lismore. The show was called Family Matters, Parental Alienation Awareness, and the art show was dedicated to raising the awareness of parental alienation, which again is such a major problem in our society. And we've had a number of we've had shows devoted to parental alienation, and we've spoken to a number of experts about this very concerning topic, which does not have the level of awareness in Australia that it does in, say, the USA, although you have to say its incidence in Australia is just as high as in those other places. So we'll be doing that. If we've got time, we might have a few other guests as well. But in the meantime, we might just go to some recent items in the news. And one item here from the Sydney Morning Herald, Thursday, May 20, by Carol Nader. Very interesting plan to settle child custody disputes by arbitration. And this is a change which the Attorney General, Robert McClellan, wants to introduce from July next year. That might be dependent on the election results, I guess, but if this goes ahead, he wants to introduce a situation where the separating couples with children will be able to choose arbitration, where a family mediator can decide on custody if attempts at mediation break down, rather than going through the more expensive family court process. Arbitration is already permitted to settle property disputes, but up until now, unless it can be settled in mediation, your only option is to go to either the family court or the federal magistrates court. Now, I think from the regular listeners to this show would probably agree that that method of solving disputes has resulted in a lot of heartbreak and a lot of failures.
A lot of poverty as well.
A lot of poverty, a lot of distress, a lot of suicides, a lot of whatever bad things
all
you want
the
to think of.
Bad things, yeah. Everything bad you can think of, that's caused it.
So I'm very interested in this proposal that we could try another way of resolving these disputes. I mean, maybe someone who has some expertise in the area of raising children, rather than a judge who's been sitting on the bench for 20 or 30 years and thinks he's seen everything. This has to be encouraged, and definitely worth a try. I mean, there'll be the usual exemptions. You know, if there's a situation where there's family violence, that may not be suitable. It might have to go through the court process. But we should be doing all we can, I think, to be pushing for alternatives to the whole family court system, which is
The adversarial system does not work for family disputes.
No, it's become
it just pours gasoline on the fire. It's a bad way of dealing with it.
Yes, it's become a multi-billion-dollar industry. But apart from this move, which the Attorney General is proposing, it actually seems to be going the other way, because the government has recently cut funding for free mediation in family relationship centres down from 3 free hours to 1 free hour from July next year for individuals who earn more than $50,000. After that initial hour, there'll be an hourly fee of $30. But at this stage, that free mediation only applies to disputes about children, and not property. So this is something to we'll keep an eye on for everybody, but it looks like that couples will have the choice between mediation, conciliation, or arbitration. So, that's an interesting development. We've got also, I suppose, on the good news front is that in America, we've had a report through from Fathers and Families. Listeners might recall we've previously spoken to Ned Holstein on this program, who is the founder of Fathers and Families, and they've been running a campaign to include parental alienation in the fifth edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. That's called DSM-5. And this is the American Psychiatric Association's Bible of Diagnoses. There's a big push to include parental alienation, and the scientific coalition is led by psychiatrist William Burnett, who explains that adding parental alienation to DSM would spur insurance coverage, stimulate more systematic research, lend credence to a charge of parental alienation in court, and raise the odds that the children would get timely treatment. It would be a big thing in Australia because most psychologists don't even recognise the condition. So we've got to hope that gets through in that American Bible, because it will definitely have a flow-on effect to Australia. But it's also been noted by David J. Kupfer, MD, the chair of the task force, that gaining inclusion isn't easy. The door to get in the manual is pretty hard. And recently there's been a public controversy between Fathers and Families and Paul J. Fink, MD, an editorial board member of the Clinical Psychiatry News. And Dr. Fink has been a big critic of including parental alienation, but we're pleased to report that Dr. Fink has apologised, retracted his defamatory statement in the latest issue of his newsletter, writing, "I apologise for suggesting that all fathers who accuse mothers of PAS, that's parental alienation syndrome, are sexually abusing their children. This was clearly an overstatement."
Whatever. How ridiculous is that? I mean, yeah, sure. That's just insanity. That's like, you know, all people who drive cars, you know, watch television or something. Where's the connection? I mean, ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's perhaps the stating the obvious, but it needs to be said, seeing he'd already made that claim. He retracts that overstatement. He says, "Admittedly, I got carried away when writing the article. I had absolutely no intention of impugning Dr. Burnett, his colleagues, or Fathers and Families in any way. I hope we can all come to agreement about what constitutes alienation, how to deal with PAS, and how to proceed in court hearings when someone alleges that one or another parent is an alienator or an abuser." So that's good to see. If anyone would like to follow up on that story, you can go to the Fathers and Families website. That's www.fathersandfamilies.org. That's O-R-G. And you can get some more information on that, which is such an important topic.
Yes. Now, I've got one here from Merca. Woman charged with killing husband is a lobbyist. Rhonda Cook and Tai Tagami have written in the Atlanta Journal Constitution. A 45-year-old woman charged with ending a domestic dispute by killing her 26-year-old husband of 5 days is a registered lobbyist for a group fighting domestic violence. Alicia Bridges was ordered held without bond in the Fulton County Jail. She is scheduled for preliminary hearing later this month on charges of felony murder, aggravated assault, and possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony. Officials said Bridges claimed she was unemployed, but records show she is a lobbyist for an organisation called the National Declaration for Domestic Violence Order. Website says the group is pushing legislation to create a database of those convicted of sex crimes or domestic abuse. witnesses told police that Bridges was wearing a nightgown and a shower cap as she argued with Rankins, who was her 5 day long husband, on the sidewalk of North Avenue near West Peachtree Street around 10:45 p.m. on a Monday. And moments later, witnesses say they heard shots. They said she then calmly walked away. Now, a police officer stopped her as she was getting into her car, perhaps to return to her home. According to Atlanta Police, Bridges told investigators that she and Rankins had been dating for a few months and were married 5 days before. Now, this is a bit more interesting too. Bridges Group isn't among the prominent domestic violence groups in Georgia, said Kirsten Rambo, who is the executive director of the Georgia Commission on Family Violence. So they've got a Rambo in charge of family and violence. Rambo said, this is the first I've heard about that organization. I certainly couldn't say if they were legitimate or not. It's certainly a new name to me, said Rambo. So there you go. So all is going strong in the United States of America. There, you know, someone who's obviously campaigning against domestic violence. Well, she didn't beat him up. She just put a bullet in his head and killed him, shot him stone dead on the sidewalk. Go, girl. Go, girl.
It's certainly ironic. It's even, you'd even perhaps consider it funny if it weren't over such a serious topic, but...
Well, I'm not related to poor old Rankin, who, you know, I'm sure he took the bullet well, being a bloke, you know. And this 45-year-old woman who he married, I mean, she's a bit of a, you know, a bit of a cougar there, marrying a 26-year-old young dude and then shooting him 5 days later. Yeah, almost funny if it wasn't so tragic. Absolutely tragic. Shocking.
Oh, well, there's a... These are some of the ironies going on in this whole area.
Yes, this is the nonsense we have to live with in this world.
So, well, we might go to a break, and we'll be back shortly.
Yeah. grow so fast. You have to cherish every moment.
Please, Daddy.
You have a right to be involved in the life of your child. Dad's in Distress, 1300 853 437.
We're back with Dad's on the Air.
It's a warm, balmy night in Lismore, North New South Wales, and I'm at an art exhibition by Deborah
Cook.
Now it is, and she's put this exhibition together of her works, and it's called Family Matters, Parental Alienation Awareness. I have Debbie with me now, and she might just explain. Hi, Debbie. Welcome again. You're becoming a regular on Dad's on the Air. It looks very nice here. We're waiting. It's the opening night, and we're waiting for everybody to come in. And before the thousands of big throng
before
comes
we can't
in,
move in here.
Absolutely. We thought I'd just ask you to explain to our listeners what you've got here and what the message is that you want to say to the people.
Firstly, Peter, I want to thank you so much for driving, you said, 5 hours. All the way from Port Macquarie to come to my exhibition.
Where did you get the bill?
Oh, sorry, I didn't know of any bills. But anyway, thank you.
It's my pleasure.
For that. Yeah,
my pleasure.
It's a great honour to have you here tonight. And my exhibition, Family Matters, is to bring awareness to parent alienation. And basically, you know, what you see here is my life, my art, you know.
So it's your story.
Yeah.
Put in photos and paintings.
I'll probably consider myself as a photo montage collage artist. Mm-hmm. Probably best describes, you know, how the art that I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I use photographs and found objects and images of toys and. It's sort of quite a collection of all sorts of things, but I mean, there's a lot of symbolism in
it. And a lot of it is your story, isn't it? There's bits of, I noticed there's bits of court, papers from your court case and so on, intermixed with photos of children and so on.
Yes, I've sort of, how would I explain, overlaid text. And images, and that sort of forms my my paintings, I guess, and then I might bring in glitter or all sorts of different mediums, and I don't know, a sort of collection.
And what made you do this? What was the idea of it?
Because this is just what I do. I mean, people sort of wonder what I do at home. I finished university in 2009. It's actually my graduation ceremony tomorrow, Saturday. And since finishing university in 2009, I'm pretty much at home, and my house is my gallery.
And did you want to put your story to the community? That's the message, isn't it?
Yes.
You want to inform people.
I want to bring awareness to parent alienation. It's a very real issue that what I found out, you know, many people are affected by it, and with 3 out of 4 families breaking down, there's a lot of people that are actually affected by family breakdown, and things can go bad, and it can be not a nice situation.
But this was your way of telling the community, beware of this, raising awareness, isn't it? Because it can happen to anyone.
Yeah, absolutely, And this is just how I deal with, parent alienation, basically.
And it's good for you. You feel it helps you as well because you're...
absolutely. Like, there's a, art is therapy, and I think my exhibition, my experiences is that art is therapy and sort of... I'm here now because of my art got me through, many, many, lonely days and lonely nights sort of thing,
And now you've become an activist,
absolutely.
For the cause.
Yes. Yep. So just whatever I can do to bring awareness, here at the gallery, there's a lot of brochures and a lot of information, a lot of books. I've sort of created a very domestic sort of space here, and my works are informed by a lot of books and research, which is about the gallery, so people can sort of sit and read or... and, of course, we have Dads on the Air playing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
we, what I've done is from 2010 or the last six shows, which just so happen to be mostly about peer and alienation, they're actually here.
And you play them?
Yeah, I've downloaded them and have them on disc here in the gallery so people can sit there and listen to different shows. And there's also a list that people can see, you know, and then listen to that show.
We'll have to pay you, surely, advertising our
program. Really?
So we reach right
your
up
program
here.
And you guys have, you know, that you save people, you know, that's what you do, you know. When I work at my drawing table and I have Dads on the Air radio listening to it, or, you know, or listen to it, you know, an MP3 download or whatever you call those wonderful things. And I feel very supported. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel alone. You know, this it's a you know becomes a much bigger. It's more than you know becomes. You know, I realise that I'm not the only parent affected in this way.
Yes.
And it's a huge.
When you hear other people's stories, it helps.
When I sit and I listen to I hear you know the people you know your different programs and I and I go thanks.
Yeah, tell me, Deborah. There's everywhere I look, there's tea bags, Lipton tea bags. There's thousands of them here on just beside me here. Do they have any significant meaning to the
Well, I am a tea addict. I'd have to say that. I drink three intense tea bags in each cup of tea I have, and I probably have probably maybe 10 cups of tea a day. So that equates to, I think, I'm not very good at maths, but, you know, probably...
A lot of tea bags.
In excess of 30 tea bags a day. And what I do in art speak is deconstruct them, and then I draw on them.
Oh, okay.
Because they're beautiful paper. It's really nice paper, so... Okay. People just go, oh, a lot of tea bags. But if you actually look at the tea bags, there's beautiful drawings on them.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You see?
There you go. I'm glad I asked.
The other day, and she said, and she didn't realise I was the artist, and she sort of said, just don't get what the tea bags are all about. And I said, well, I just so happen to be the artist, and I can explain to you. And she hadn't seen the drawings either. She hadn't seen the drawings either, but when she and then it sort of we come back in to have a look at the drawings, and then she was like, "Oh wow, that's really beautiful."
Right?
Yeah, it's beautiful paper, and it's sort of recycling.
So you take the tea out, or you leave?
I pull the tea bag apart, you know, very gently, of course, and shake out all the tea. It's best when it's dry, and then you know can use it as drawing or tracing paper.
Okay.
And it's beautiful paper, you know, nice paper.
I just realised, I didn't realise before, but that's all tea bags up there.
Yeah, there's tea bags everywhere, and there's, did you see all the sign it? Sign here, sign here, sign here.
Yes, what's that?
Well, that's, you know, court, you know, they want you to sign here and sign your life away, you know.
Very good.
There's a lot of symbolism here, you know, a lot of symbolism in my art.
So the visitors to the exhibition, what's been the response so far? What sort of do they ask you many questions, or whether they does it encourage them to ask questions, and what does this mean? And can you give us some examples of what
they think it's good that somebody's using art to give a message, you know, to put the message out there. Mm-hmm. It is a big problem, and it affects society, you know. Mm-hmm. People just didn't know there was a name for it. And there's been great response at the gallery, more saying the gallery space look, you know, wonderful and sensitive, and, you know, I sort trying to evoke a feeling of coming into my home, into my life.
Does anybody sort of say, hey, this triggers something with them, resonates with them, perhaps in their past, or do they suddenly realise, oh, that maybe that's what happened to me, or get
any of that? Apparently, I've got little seats and stools and things set up around my drawing table, and where the radio is playing, you know, your shows.
So you're here all through the
no,
day?
No, I'm not here all the day, but it's manned by somebody and they know one of your discs in.
Oh, okay.
So the idea is that people can come down and sit on the armchair or on one of the little poofs there.
Yes.
And listen to the show.
Yep.
You know, for as long as they like. And I've been told that some people sit there for quite some time actually.
So listen to it.
Because your shows are really informative.
Yeah.
And I want to, you know, give you guys a biggest plug as possible because, you know, I mean, people probably in this area don't know about Dad's on the Air, you know what I mean? And you're a wonderful wealth of information, you know. I said you've saved my life, you know, in my days at my drawing desk and my tea.
So you're passing that on now. You're helping to save other lives, in a sense. Do you see it that way too?
Yeah, absolutely, you know.
But it's amazing what might trigger it. If you think back of the civil rights movement in America, you know, that many people died and trying to get equality for the blacks, and one day a lady called Rosa Parker didn't want to get up out of a seat, and that triggered off the Martin Luther King crusade sort of from it, but it started there with a strike against the bus company. So one doesn't know what will trigger the same thing off, because it can't go on as it is. So it may be you, maybe it's just like art exhibition that triggers it off for someone.
Keep giving those perioranation awareness brochures out there. You know, put them everywhere. You don't sort of see them as such in the family courts. They sort of skirt around the issue of alienation, but they don't actually give it a name. You know, so yeah, I'm actually getting that perinatal awareness out wherever I can. I sort of make it my business. I go to town pin up some here and pin up there, and they all go. So obviously people are taking them.
And the I notice you've got plenty of food there.
I'd like to make mention of the beautiful food that's been prepared by Vicky and her. It's called Eat My Arts Creations.
Okay.
And she's put on a beautiful spread tonight, so
we'll enjoy that.
Come along and eat that.
That's great.
And we'll eat it.
Well, look, we wish you all the success with the exhibition. It runs till the 17th of May, does it? Or the 14th?
It's on view until the 14th.
The 14th of May.
At the Serpentine Gallery in Lismore, and they're a wonderful community-based gallery that give the opportunity to artists to give a message, you know, through their artwork. So good on Serpentine Art Gallery.
We'll try and get a few responses from some of the people around here and see what they think of the exhibition as well and what it says to them.
Okay, great.
Thanks
so much, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Causes devastation through manipulation and intimidation. It's practiced by a parent through indoctrination. The children do not know it as they're kept in isolation. One parent disappears by elimination through misinformation with lots of fabrication. Little brains are wired by constant stimulation against the other parent with great determination. Parental alienation, it causes devastation through manipulation and intimidation. It's practiced by a parent through indoctrination. The children do not know it as they're kept in isolation. No more expectation of parents' visitation. Nothing is now positive, only denigration. All attempted contact create a complication. Memories are erased with determined application. Parental alienation, it causes devastation through manipulation and intimidation. It's practiced by a parent through indoctrination. The children do not know
kept in isolation. We don't see our children despite our protestation. The court will not act to help our situation. Dare to speak out, you invite recrimination, which destroys your reputation by nasty imputation. Parental alienation, it causes devastation through manipulation and intimidation. It's practiced by a parent through indoctrination. The children do not know it as they're kept in isolation. This must be exposed, cause a revelation, and this is child abuse, a cruel abomination. The courts must stand up to save their reputation, eliminate this practice of parental alienation. Parental alienation, it causes devastation through manipulation and intimidation. This practice by a parent through indoctrination. The children do not know it as they're kept in isolation. Parental alienation, it causes devastation through manipulation and intimidation. It's practiced by a parent through indoctrination. The children do not know it as they...
We're back with Dad's on the Air.
We're here at Deborah's exhibition of the Parental Alienation Awareness Division in Lismore, and one of the visitors to her exhibition is
Floresta Virgen.
Floresta. And what brings you here? What's your interest in?
I live locally, and I, on the off chance, met Deborah and was impressed with her persona, and I was interested in following her through to her work. So I made a point of being here.
Absolutely. And I'm sure she's glad to see you here.
Yes.
what does the exhibition say to you?
There are many, many things that need healing, and certainly the family needs healing. I personally have a family that is dysfunctional insofar as we've separated and we don't see enough of one another, for one. And I have a grandchild that I very rarely see. She's 11, and her loss and my loss are really profound.
Yes.
And I'd like to see the end of that kind of loss.
And it's the daughter of your son?
The daughter of my son,
yes. And does he say much of his daughter?
He doesn't see enough of his daughter. There's not enough of his input. He's the musician, poet, held in high regard by many, many people.
Yes.
But he and his wife, friends, partner, separated, and she is very, very, what's the word?
Possessive?
Possessive of a daughter, and almost wants to create a clone of herself, which is...
Yes, the children.
It's a loss for all of us.
Yes. And did you know that is your daughter being turned against? Your granddaughter is being turned against your son?
Not necessarily. Oh, okay. Not in an obvious way.
Subtle.
Subtle way. Very subtle.
And did you know there was it was called parental alienation when one parent turns the child against the other parent? Or were you aware of that before?
Yes, I'm fully aware of it. I don't even know that the mother is fully conscious of what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
she probably thinks that life goes on forever and doesn't realise that these moments, these precious moments, are being lost.
You only have one child.
One by one.
Yes. Yes.
And
what do you think?
Retrieved. They cannot be retrieved.
What do you think should be different?
They should keep their hearts open and look to the child's well-being and welfare first and foremost, and then allow their hurts and sorrows to
heal.
Do
you think the system, the way it is at the moment, favours one parent or the other, or encourages this sort of behaviour?
It's so lacking. Bureaucracy is so lacking that it's even hard to pinpoint who they're favouring. It seems that the only thing they're favouring is filling up their pockets.
You're spot on.
Favour anyone.
You're spot on. It's all about money in the end, I think. Yes, that's what many dads find the same thing, you know. So, and some mothers as well, as in Deborah's case. So it's very good to see somebody come out and say, take it to the people, I suppose, the message. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your information. I hope you enjoyed the exhibition.
Thank
you. I'm just wandering around here amongst all the visitors to the exhibition, and just run into a gentleman here who is very interested in all the paintings and so on that we have here. Would you give us your opinion of the exhibition and how it speaks to you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's sad. Like, it makes me think of my own past and what happened in my own situation, where many years of upset. But you know, fortunately, in my circumstance, things worked out in the end. But it's still just it basically brings up a lot of sadness.
That's all the works that she's done. That's how it comes out as being a sad story.
Well, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of pain. It's a very painful situation, and there's a lot of hurt, and you can get over it, and you know, like, it just basically depends on, you know, the people involved. You know, if both parents are going to start working on, you know, what's best for the kids in a real sense, then you know, you can move on.
And you were able to do this on your own case.
Yes, you know, it took a good 3 years, but you know, 3 years of hell.
And you went through the court system and everything like that as well?
No.
Were you able to do it without that?
Yeah, we got mediation, and mediation was enormously successful in the end.
Right.
So that was good. Yeah, we were fortunate not to go that step.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
It just makes it worse, I think.
Yeah. The family court, I know, yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about it because I haven't had that experience.
No.
But it was one of the things that, you know, we had to avoid at all costs.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so you're here supporting Deborah mainly?
Yes.
And you think it's a good idea to bring this to the people?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, I think that it is a real... it's just everywhere. I mean, basically, people are going through you know, problematic relationships, breaks down, separation, and you know, if you can keep it out of the legal realm, it's you know, infinitely better. I mean, I know that it seems in some cases it does have to go there. But, yeah, I mean, essentially, if you can work it out, you know, it sounds like a cliche, you know, doing what's best for the kids, but really it's what's doing best for everyone.
Yes.
You know, like, you've got to do it. It's just must be.
So you put the kid, you and your ex-wife put the kids first.
Yeah.
Which is commendable, isn't it? I mean, that's.
Yeah, in the end.
Yeah, ideally, that's how it should be with everyone. But it's. Unfortunately, realistically, it doesn't turn out that by that for many.
It doesn't. I think it's a work in progress, you know.
Yes. Like,
and yeah, a lot of realization that, you know, you have to kind of cut your losses at certain points. You're not going to end up with 100% of what you want.
No.
You have to negotiate. There has to be compromise. And you know, ultimately, you know, it is about the kids, but also it's also about getting your own life back on track after something like a relationship breakdown occurs. You know. It's difficult.
Do you think the system could be designed differently, that where people don't go, are not directed and encouraged to go to court? We're more. I know there's a. You can't just go to court now. You have to go to mediation first.
Yes.
Is that what happened to you?
Or? It is. I was surprised actually in terms of the. You know, we certainly were not encouraged to go to court.
Right.
At the same time, getting legal advice was probably one of the best things I ever did, because it basically gave me a framework to work with. You know, I found out what my rights and obligations were, and there was a lot of threats and misinformation in those early years, and then basically, you know, I was always afraid to get legal advice, you know, like costs and the like, but in the end, it was just advice that I needed, and in the end, it brought us both to a mediation, and the mediation helped us put in place a parenting plan. So
I was going to ask you that. Yeah. So you both developed the parenting. You
yes.
developed the parenting plan together with the help of the mediator.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And you're stuck by that pretty well. Right? Because it's not, you both signed that, did you?
We both signed it. It started out as a 60-40 shared care arrangement. It's now a 50-50 shared care arrangement, which is, you know.
So you changed the parenting plan then too?
We didn't change the parenting plan. We basically have essentially just run with, you know, it was 60-40 for 6 months, and then essentially just this year, over the last 2 months, it's just become 50-50 because it works much better. It's a lot easier getting the kids to school, homework, all the nitty-gritty. It's much better just to have 1 week on, 1 week off. That's in my situation.
And you're aware that they're not really legally binding.
Well, exactly.
But I guess it gives you some buffer that when things quieten down a little bit, emotions die down a bit, and that you've got something in place and you can carry on, remain. Or alter it, like in your case, I guess.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it just provided like a framework and some boundaries and some things that we, you know, something like a third party that, you know, we could refer to and we had to adhere to. And I know it's not legally binding, but, you know, we both know that the costs of taking it legal, which is exactly where it would go from this point, it's just somewhere where neither of us want to go. And you know, our boys are much happier.
How old are your children?
11 and 12.
Have they? You think they benefit from all this too? Are they happy with the arrangements, or are they? Would they rather live mostly with one parent and not have to go backwards and forwards? So what's their experience or their view on it?
It changes from week to week sometimes, but no, I mean, basically, yeah, they're much happier with the way things are now, like with regards to having, you know, time with both their mother and I. They do say now they want to spend more time with me, but, you know, I'm quite insistent that it's a much better arrangement in my mind that they spend, you know, pretty well equal time with both of us. I think it's just an age thing, you know.
Yes.
Two boys, they want to do boys things.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And, you know, their mum, she's a really good mum.
Yes.
You know? Just couldn't live with her.
Yes. Well, you know, that's it's a fact of life. We, you know, sometimes we don't get on with their own families. I mean,
it's
quite understandable. But it's nice to see that you both put your children first and got a great result out of that. You know.
Congratulations. Wasn't for lack of trying. Yeah, thanks.
Because I don't know whether you know the figures, but 700,000 children in Australia today have little or no contact with their non-custodial parent when they give custody to one, and therefore it's not just that other parent that's cut off, it's all that side of the family.
Exactly.
So you're looking at, you know, 2.5 million people at least affected in Australia. So that has implications down the track. I'm sure there'll be ramifications of dysfunctional people that have been cut off from families. They've been taught to hate the other parent. Now, how easy it is to hate some other people later on in their lives when they can be encouraged to hate their own parent.
Oh, that's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. So you've done the right thing, and
Yeah,
it's good to hear a good story. There's so many sad stories about it. It's good to hear the ones that are successful as well.
Well, that's what they said. They said, you know, you go to court and, you know, you end up in either mad, bad or sad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think everyone ends up sad.
Yeah.
And you have your moments of madness. And, you know, you don't always do the right thing, but yeah, we were lucky.
You went to a lawyer first?
No, we went through it. It's one of these relationship mediation centres. I think the Howard government was one of the only good things I think that they did.
Right.
They set up centres. I'm not sure if they were ones who set them up, but that was our first port of call. And that didn't work. But from that point on, we got solicitors involved. But then we had a solicitor mediation with an ex-justice mediating.
Right.
And so there was a legal framework, but it wasn't legally binding. But the advice given was very much like, you know, consistent with
yes.
what we could reasonably expect
yes.
to happen. And, yeah, in the end it worked out
and
well.
You live fairly close together then for that to be 50-50.
That does make it, yeah. Yes. I don't think it could
you
work.
You couldn't work it if you had a long distance between that.
No, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your story. Thank you.
Loneliness is your only friend. so fast. You have to cherish every moment.
Please, Daddy.
You have a right to be involved in the life of your child.
What do you care? It's not like you were ever there anyway.
Dads in Distress meet in your area every week. If you're a non-custodian parent and would like to know who to contact or just want someone to talk to, help is just a phone call away. Dads in Distress, 1-300-853-437 or dadsindistress.asn.au.
We're back with Dads on the Air.
Welcome back to Dads on the Air, this 25th day of May 2010. And this is Bill Cable from Mediate Now. We've just been listening to that interview with between Peter van der Voord from Dads on the Air and Deborah Cook at her exhibition that was recently held in Lismore on Family Matters, Parental Alienation Awareness. And just a couple of things I drew from that interview which were interesting. One was the fact that parental alienation is often a very subtle process, and it's not something as easy to point to as direct physical violence, where you can often see the injuries, but the injuries caused to the emotions and mentally are perhaps just as serious, if not more serious. And Peter drew attention to the fact that it doesn't just affect the other partner; it often extends to, in the case that was mentioned here, grandkids. You know, you even hear of it extending to pets, to friends of the family, to anyone. It's anyone associated with the target parent seems to get caught up in this parental alienation syndrome, parental alienation problem, whatever you want to call it. The other interview was interesting with the success of a mediation, and the father was saying they took the legal advice before going to the mediation. And it's always good to hear one of these success stories. They're able to keep it out of the family court, and the parenting has gone from a 60-40 to the ideal of a 50-50 split between the parents. So congratulations to that, to those parents, and that's an excellent result.
And congratulations to those children.
And yes, best of their lucky, those children. They've got the hit the jackpot there with a 50-50 split, and sounds like very sensible parents. So that was the good news in those interviews. We're still waiting to hear from our blogger, from Ken Thompson, who's in Europe, and he's peddling around Europe trying to raise awareness for the problem of abduction of children by parents who can't wait to see what the family court might decide. They take matters into their own hands and disappear. You might recall we interviewed Ken last week. We've had previous interviews with him, and his son Andrew was stolen from him, last seen in Frankfurt. And absolutely nothing since. The trail went very, very cold once the mother hit Frankfurt. So just before we get on with a couple of other stories, we have Phil York here from Dads in Distress, and Phil's does a lot of excellent work through Dads in Distress with fathers who have reached the end of their tether, the end of the road, and they actually contemplate suicide. And this is where Phil's group has been able to do a lot of good work, and there's some activity going on in that area right now. Just hoping Phil might be able to tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. As you said, I guess one of Dads in Distress's as an organisation main focus is about keeping guys alive and if we can, preventing suicide. As part of that, we sit on various committees and workshops. And, Wesley Life Force is one of the main organisations which is really powering on in the section of suicide awareness. Wesley Life Force is a suicide prevention program aiming to educate, empower and resource Australian communities to be aware of the issues of suicide. In various areas, they chair suicide prevention networks. Now, I've been involved with a suicide prevention network in Wollongong for some time. There's also a suicide prevention network in the Penrith area of Sydney. And just come over the email is a flyer for a suicide prevention workshops being put on by Wesley in the Blacktown area, which is good to see. As I said, this organisation does some really wonderful work around suicide. There are also suicide bereavement support groups which are available, and anyone who would like information on those, I would suggest you go to the Wesley Mission website and type in Life Force, LIFEFORCE, and you'll get more information from that. You know, it really is a rather large and worrying and concerning situation we have in Australia when it comes to suicide. And because of the nature of the beast, you know, there's very little reporting in so far as the media goes. You know, officially, as far as the official stats show, as we've said on this show before, officially 5 men suicide each and every day in Australia, or officially 4.8. Reality is, as a conservative estimate, more around about 8 or 9 men actually take their lives each day, and that's due to the reporting structures that the coroners adhere to. Classic example of this is, you know, a bridge jumper. Someone jumps off a bridge. On their death certificate, it is death by multiple injury. It's not death by suicide. You know, we can talk about single occupant car crashes. And, you know, there's just not enough out there as far as awareness goes. You know, in 2007, and these are official statistics from the ABS, in 2007, there were 1,881 registered suicides in Australia. 77% of these were men, which equates to 1,448. The ABS also reports on the national road toll, and the national road toll for 2007 was 1,016. Now, when you look into the stats in regards to that, 1,177 of these were men in the national road toll. So, you know, when you break it all down, the suicide rate in Australia in men is higher than our national road toll in men, by a sobering fact that 271 more men died by way of suicide than on our roads in 2007.
And that's just in those conservative reporting that you mentioned.
Exactly.
So who knows how many of these road deaths were actually suicides as well? So a bloke just ran into a tree, and you know, on a lonely night road, and it's put down as a single car accident, whereas in fact it was a suicide.
Indeed, and you know, the millions and millions and millions of dollars that's spent on the road campaign in that particular year, 2007, $66.4 million was spent between the Victorian and New South Wales governments alone just on an anti-speed awareness campaign. Now, that doesn't cover the drink driving campaign, doesn't cover speed cameras, etc., and yet there's so little that's actually spent on suicide and statistics and, you know, university studies, etc. So,
yeah, it's extraordinary. You wonder if it is a cynical underreporting by the government so that they don't have to do anything, but they would be very well advised to be supporting groups such as Dads in Distress and the Wesley Group and these other people that are actually working in the field, because Australia, no country can afford to lose all these young men in such a pointless
tragic
way.
Yeah, tragic circumstances.
No, that extraordinary figure. I think you said 77% of the suicides are actually men. And I wonder if we broke that down even further, what the age group of those men were.
Yeah, I could break it down, but at the moment the majority was 25 to 44.
Mm. So they're right in the fathering age range, aren't they? They're 25 to 44.
They are. They are indeed. And there was a study done by the Ewan Cowan University, I think it is, in Brisbane, some years ago, and That study showed that out of the participants in the study, 80% of the men that had suicided had gone through a relationship breakdown in the previous 2 years.
Mm.
So
you wonder how many of them are clients of the Child Support Agency as well.
Well, that's right. That's the next step. If they get through the court, they've still got the Child Support Agency to deal with. Yeah. So it's in fact, if you go to our Dads on the Air men's site, Dads on the Air site, you'll see the we have an estimate of the stats on the men that have suicided through the Child Support Agency. That's the best we can do because the Child Support Agency has consistently refused to provide any information on the number of their clients who have in fact suicided. So it is very much a dark area trying to get out what is really happening. But even on the little that we are able to find out, it's such a tragic story. And we can only tell all our listeners, if you do find yourself in that situation, there is help out there. There's, as I say, I've mentioned a number of times, there's Dads in Distress, there's Lifeline, there are a number of agencies you can talk to and perhaps get another side to things before you contemplate further taking that such a drastic step.
Yeah, it's very important to reach out in time of need. There's no more stronger message than that.
Well, we might go to a break and we'll be back shortly.
Empty house, empty life, no family, no wife. I can stay up all night, I can run around in the nude, I can eat steak or any other type of food. Don't have to go and buy her flowers. Don't have to be early, I don't have to be late. I'm Daddy Immaculate. I'm Daddy Immaculate. Come to a pub near you. I'm Daddy Immaculate. Coming to a pub near you. I'm Daddy Immaculate. I'm coming to a pub near you. But I just said her bum looks big in this. Nobody to love, nobody to care, nobody to try and tell me to cut my hair. Nobody to play with, nobody to fight, nobody to keep me warm at night.
a pop daddy-o. I'm daddy immaculate, I'm coming to a pop daddy-o. But I just said her bum looks big in this.
Dad's in distress, meeting your area every week. If you're a non-custodian parent and would like to know who to contact or just want someone to talk to, help is just a phone call away. Dad's in Distress, 1300 853 437, or dadsindistress.asn.au.
We're back with Dad's on the Air.
Welcome back to Dad's on the Air this 25th day of May 2010. This is Bill Cable from Mediate Now. And just a bit of another good news story, but this comes from Massachusetts in America, where the paper called the Worcester Telegram and Gazette has published a strong editorial in favour of a shared parenting bill. In the editorial, which is headed Fairness for Fathers, Bill Makes Sense for Most Divorces, the newspaper's editorial board has written, by smoothing the way towards sound custody agreements, House Bill 1400 offers help in the vast majority of cases, those involving two fit parents. The bill, it must be emphasised, is for families in which both parents are fit and no other problem gets in the way, such as parents living far apart. Well, that raises another issue. But judges would depart from the shared parenting starting point whenever the best interests of the child so dictated, giving written reasons. This simple bill, currently before the Joint Committee on the Judiciary, offers an enormous and welcome change in how families would navigate marriage dissolution. So, just going back to that, where the parents don't live close together, this can be a problem if with relocation. Some of the most difficult cases that come before the family court involve relocations, where one parent will, usually the mother, will often decide just to relocate with the children. It happens all the time. And then they then use that relocation as an argument why shared parenting won't work. Makes you think there should almost be an obligation on the parents to stay living close together after a divorce so that shared parenting becomes an option. One adult child of a divorce wrote about his situation. He said, I'm an adult now but was a child of divorce along with my brother. To me, this law makes perfect sense. My mother in her later years told me she refused to let my father see my brother and me as children. She now said it was a big mistake. My brother to this day longs for the relationship he never had with his father, who died quite a few years ago. He says, as kids, we always thought he just wrote us off and didn't want a relationship with us. Sad for us all. And he comments that if both parents are good parents, loving and able to give their children guidance and a good childhood, that's how it should be. A strong argument for shared custody.
Yeah, and lots of those stories. That's just, you know, one of millions of stories.
There are, and I think that is an obligation to get those good stories out, because there are a lot of people who want to come out with the bad stories and reasons why shared parenting shouldn't go ahead, when in fact, what could be fairer than 50-50 between the parents?
Yeah, no, it's just common sense, really.
Just an update, too, from our show where we had David Dufour, who's doing a documentary on the international state of maleness. Dave came out and programmed Dad's in the Air. He's now back in the States, putting together the program. I think he's got some more work to do in America, and perhaps even he's going to do some work in England. But we'll be keeping an eye out on that show and letting you know when that documentary might become available, something we're all looking forward to. Now, just returning to domestic violence, and we were talking before about the risk of suicide in the community. One of the big factors is this domestic violence against men. It almost sounds strange saying it. We think we're so conditioned to thinking that violence only happens between men, with men against women. But in this story in the West Australian on Saturday, May 22, by Andrea Mays, she describes the situation for a man, Alan Edwards. That's not his real name, but Alan spent 3 years in an abusive relationship with the mother of his young son before seeking help. He was verbally and physically abused in front of his son, had his front door kicked down, and was pushed to his emotional limit. Now, this man, Alan Edwards, we're calling him, he's 6'1", weighs 90 kilograms, and he admits that he'd rather be punched in the face by a man than be shamed in this way by a woman. He says, you can get over the physical damage, but the emotional abuse is so much harder, particularly when people don't even recognise that it's there. Now, he, in common with a lot of these stories that we hear about, he went to the police, where he was virtually laughed at. He went to a number of the government bodies where he could have perhaps been expecting some better treatment, but unfortunately there is this prejudice against men admitting that they suffer from this. Psychologist Elizabeth Chelly, who we've had Elizabeth on the show before, she specialises in men's health, and she says that domestic violence against men often takes the form of emotional abuse, making it much harder to detect than the physical abuse. She says people often assume that men don't feel hurt by emotional abuse because they don't talk about it, yet their sense of shame, failure and self-doubt can be more acute than that of the female victims. Just because he doesn't verbalise it doesn't mean that he doesn't feel it. Greg Andresen, who's a spokesman for the 1 in 3 campaign, and we've often talked about that website, the 1 in 3, either use the words or the figures and you'll get to that website. It gives the real statistics on domestic violence, and it aims to raise public awareness of family violence against men. And Greg comments that the popular belief that men are tough and can look after themselves physically was backed up by statistics that showed that more women than men suffer from physical abuse, but often the worst damage to men comes from the emotional and psychological abuse. Dr. Chaley went on from that to say that men can become suicidal when the abuse is at its most severe. And this is a real problem. Men suffer the shame and embarrassment, and they fear being judged as weak when they complain about this. And they suddenly find there's almost nowhere for them to turn. Those existing services, helplines, GPs, police, often unhelpful and even hostile towards men when they attempt to report this condition. So I think these things are changing. Fortunately, Dr. Chelly and others who are working in this area are more aware of the situation. We've got the Men's Advisory Network Executive Officer Gary Bryant, who we spoke to last week. He has backed the report's recommendations for government-funded public awareness campaigns for publicly funded services for male victims, instead of this fiction that we often see of the White Ribbon campaign, where it's regarded as violence is only happening from men beating up women. This is coming now to the to getting some more prominence. We mentioned last week the study that's been done by the Men's Advisory Network, and we spoke to Gary Bryant. That study will shortly be on the Dads on the Air website, so if you go to www.dadsontheair.net in the next week, we expect the embargo will have been taken from that report, and you'll be able to download it and read in some detail what those recommendations are. So that's the situation at the moment with the domestic violence against men. We might have a short break, and we'll be back in a moment.
I've been working all night long. Put my daughter on my knee. And she said, "Daddy, what's wrong?" She whispered in my ear so sweet. You know what she said? She said, "Food, and it makes me wonder why. live in a poor part of town. And I go see her sometime. We make love so fine. I put my head on her shoulder. She said, tell me all the trouble. You know what she said? She said,
ooh, daddy, you're a fool to cry. You're a fool to cry. And it makes me wonder why. Daddy, you're a fool to cry.
Oh, I love you so much, baby.
Welcome back to Dad's on the Air this 25th day of May 2010, and we're getting towards the end of the show. We looks like we won't be hearing from Ken Thompson today, but we'll be chasing him up during the week, and hopefully we'll get
Ken
him.
Ken slept in, couldn't get himself out of bed, and wherever he is over there.
Yeah, I can't understand. It's only, I think it must be about 3 o'clock in the morning where he is. So anyway, he might have slept through, but we'll get some more news from him next week.
Oh, let's hope he's having sweet dreams, Ken. He's earned them.
He has, and we thank Deborah Cook for talking to us at her exhibition in Lismore, and we'll have some interesting interviews next week. And in the meantime, you might stay online, because coming right up now is Country Bob with Country On, and we'll catch you all next week with another interesting show.
And of course, this show will be downloadable from our website dadsontheair.net from this afternoon, and we'll be back next week to do it all again.
where Dad's on the air. Where Dad's, where Dad's.